Hello. Yes, we got back from Korea and it was a wonderful trip. And so I just wanted to thank God for his love for me and for our family. There are many details to share later, but even just before the trip, just many people giving us tips and what apps to use and where to stay. I mean, in every detail, we're just provided information and given so much care and preparation for this trip. And it was just wonderful. And there were a lot of great things about our trip, but one of the blessings was just meeting with other believers in Christ and being able to fellowship with them and just meeting our brothers and sisters across the world and fellowshipping in Christ was just wonderful. So, in every way, I just want to thank God for just allowing this trip for our family. Two of the boys are still there. So, thank you for all your prayers. It was just wonderful, and I'm just excited to share in more detail with you guys one-on-one. Thank you.
See that the O's are here. They're trickling in one by one. We have Liliana in the back with Uncle Andre. It's good to see old faces. I'm going to read a passage that the Lord gave to me before the trip, and I didn't know why. And after the trip, I understood why. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Okay, let's pray. Father, we surrender to you. We want to hear from you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you send your spirit in this place. We pray that you soften hearts. Pray that ears would open, eyes would open, hearts would soften in your presence. We want to hear your voice and your voice alone. You are the shepherd, we are sheep. We humble ourselves before you. We surrender and repent. Pray that you would speak in a way that we can hear. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for praying for our trip to Korea. First time in nearly 20 years for myself and for Jackie, and the first time for our boys. It's good to see James and Elaine and Micah, Liliana, Jaden. Welcome. We're so excited that we can spend this Christmas with all of you. First, let me say that Korea is very cold. It is very cold. I'm used to walking around in the California sun. I realize I am a California I'm a California kid now. I could not handle the weather. The first day or two I was there was maybe minus 10 degrees Celsius, so in the teens. I had only a very flimsy winter jacket. I tried to rough it for the first half of the trip, but I couldn't handle it anymore. So I had to get a winter jacket while I was there. It was that cold. We saw many, many people there. Was not planned that way, but it ended up being that way. Of course, the parks were there. Sister Sarah is in good spirits. She's taking care of her mom after the dad's funeral. Continue to pray for the parks. Pauline just arrived as we were wrapping up our trip. Not only did we see the parks, we saw a brother named Juyuk. Juyuk was a brother that I met when he was about 19 years old, when I was a missionary, about 25, 26. Jackie and I had just arrived there. He was studying abroad from Korea and had a great time with him for about a year, and then he moved back to Korea. We lost touch, and I did not know where he was. Of course, we were part of a larger church network, and the church split, so I didn't know, is he on the other side? does he want to keep a distance from me? And so it was kind of unknown. And then a couple years ago, I heard that this brother had gotten reconnected with Pastor Jungwon and his church, and the Parks knew him, knows that couple, pastoral couple, well. And so I heard that he was there. So I was excited that he was there. We kind of got reconnected 2 years ago, and then now we could finally see each other face to face, and it was a sweet time. I met him as a single guy. Now he's a father, early 40s. He has three children, beautiful children. So just a wonderful time of catching up with a brother I met on the mission field in Tokyo, Japan. We also saw Brother Richard and Sister Jenny. Sister Jenny was there taking care of her mother and father as they get older. And so we unexpectedly saw them and had a meal with them. I should say Pastor Jungwon, we visited their church. He has broken English, but I could understand enough. And even if I couldn't understand anything, if I were not a pastor and I was looking for a church, he's the kind of pastor I'd want to be with. Just his heart for God, his heart for people just really comes forward. So I felt like in a short time our hearts were knit together, and they have missions to Philippines and Kenya. Started praying now, Lord, may you allow us to partner together in ministry on the mission field or whatever the Lord has in mind. So please pray for Pastor Jungwon, his wife, Mija. Mija Samanim and Heavenly Hope Church. I think God has something in store for the two churches going forward. Got to see my aunt and uncle, my cousin, whom I haven't seen since he was high school. Now he's also in his 40s and two children. Saw Emma's younger sister, Minjin, multiple times. She saw us the day we arrived. She saw us again maybe two, three more times. Just wonderful fellowship with Sister Minjin. So this was an unexpected that on this trip we would meet so many people. We had no idea when we booked the trip what we would be doing, but most of the time it was fellowshipping with other believers. So I thank the Lord, and I am thankful to be home. I mean, I have a part of me that is Korean. I love Korean food. If I see Korean soccer, I will root for Korea, even over U.S. We were on the plane. They were showing the soccer game. I thought I could get to Korea, and the country would be in a frenzy if they had won the game. But, of course, they lost on the flight over there. So there's a part of me that's very Korean. deep down, but I am an American, and probably I am a Californian most of all. I love the weather here. I came back. I could be in t-shirts again, walk around, and enjoy the sun. It'll be hard for me if the Lord ever calls me to leave California, especially to a cold place like Korea, but thankful. And of course, I met Pastor Brian and Brittany Sumney. We've been praying for them for years. We've been supporting their ministry, and they came out from a Korean Christian broadcast this past early this year. Pastor Brian and Brittany Sumney, and their ministry is Just Jesus. It's just a YouTube channel, and we got to hear the testimony how God provided them a facility in the most expensive part of Seoul, which is like the Beverly Hills of California, and just free rent, free renovation in the most expensive. It's because expensive part of Seoul is because Pastor Brian ministered to this couple years ago, and just out of gratitude to the Lord, they wanted to kind of bless the ministry, and we heard so many testimonies of God telling Pastor Brian maybe 13 years ago, you're going to start a virtual church someday. Why don't you wait on me? And now is the time, and God started to unfold just an incredible provision, just step by step. They had no idea how they're going to do it. They bought this little YouTube, probably like $50 set. They thought that's how they're going to do it, and now they have this whole team of people that God sent to them from like the highest rated news broadcast, but they're believers, and so they wanted to join this ministry. And so just the top caliber talent, God providing facilities and half of the rent money through this godly couple. And so I just got to hear that testimony. And we got to, of course, share our prayer requests. He is my pastor. And so if there's anybody who knows my journey, it's him. And I got to share Jackie, all the boys, we got to share. And the one word summary of all of our sharing as he prayed for us was peace. He prayed for peace. And I reread 1 Kings 11 when I got back from the trip, and I was shocked that here again was the word peace. That's what I want to talk about today, Jesus as the Prince of Peace. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign wives, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, for the nations of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Matthew, last week he talked about faithfulness, so this is somewhat of a continuation. I want to talk about peace / loyalty. It said Solomon's heart was not loyal to the Lord, as was David. David's heart was loyal. And the word for loyal in the Hebrew is shalem. Shalem means complete, means safe, means at peace. Why are we not at peace? It's because something in our heart is not complete. There's a restlessness. Even though we say we follow Jesus, he's our Prince of Peace, if we don't continue to abide in him, there is a lack of peace on a day-to-day basis because there is no shalem. We are incomplete. There's a restlessness. We're seeking after something to fill our incompleteness. You don't feel safe. When you're in Christ, there is a safety. There's a security. You're at peace. There's that kind of completeness, safety. There's a peace that transcends all understanding when we're in Christ. And Solomon had it in moments, but you could not characterize his life as a life of peace. like David. David had peace. On the surface, he was running from Saul. He was praying throughout. He was chased. He was just Philistines and just a constant turmoil around him. But inside, because David was a prayer warrior, he abided in Christ, we could say. And he had peace. He was loyal to the Lord, unlike his son Solomon, who lacked this loyalty, who lacked peace. Shalom. It says in Deuteronomy 17 that there are four commandments of the Lord that Solomon broke, all four commandments. He says, God says in his word that you shall not trust in military might. What did Solomon do? He multiplied his military might. God says, don't marry multiple wives. What did Solomon do? He married multiple wives. He's supposed to have one. He married multiple wives. He broke the commandment of the Lord. And because he married multiple wives, these wives are pagan wives, in fact. His heart turned away from the Lord. And he trusted in foreign gods. God said, don't trust in foreign gods. As you intermarry with foreign wives, Solomon broke that commandment. And lastly, God says, don't trust in your wealth. And Solomon trusted in his wealth. Four commandments in Deuteronomy 17, verse 14 through 17. You can read it on your own. All four commandments Solomon broke. And that led to a lack of peace. And this problem that Solomon experienced happened again throughout Israel's history as a nation. It happened in Nehemiah's day. Nehemiah 13 says, because of, it mentions Solomon's sin in Nehemiah 13, verse 26. It says, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. And so this sin of Solomon, he is infamous for this, and it's the same sin that followed the nation of Israel. They turned their heart because of intermarriage with foreign gods, and that was Solomon's downfall. It led to him having a lack of peace. It says in 1 Kings 11, verse 9, So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And it's interesting that it recalls two appearances of the Lord. And as we've been studying in recent months, no one can see the Lord. It says that in John chapter 1. No one has ever seen the Lord. And yet, twice, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Who was this person who appeared to him? Answer? Anyone have an answer? Who is this person who appeared to Solomon twice? Jesus. The pre-incarnate Jesus, he's there in the Old Testament. He might not be in a form that was recognized, and maybe even preachers missed it, but Jesus is there in the Old Testament. If you recall, if you follow, if you see, if you have eyes to see, Jesus is there. Every time there's an appearance, every time there's sight of some kind of a form of God, it is Jesus every time. It's not the Jesus we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's not the Jesus we celebrate at Christmas season who is there in a manger. It is not the incarnation, but it's a pre-incarnate form. Solomon saw the appearance of a pre-incarnate form of Jesus. He appeared to him twice. He appeared to him in 1 Kings 3. It says, verse 3, And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Solomon loved the Lord, but his one weakness because of his wives, his one vulnerability is he started intermixing his faith, his loyalty with God, with worship of other gods. Verse 4, now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued his great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. This appearance of the Lord, this pre-incarnate form of Jesus, Jesus appears to Solomon, and he asks Solomon, what is your one wish? And I want to ask all of you, if you had one wish from the Lord, what would come out of your heart? What do you desire? What do you desire? For Solomon, it was wisdom. And for a king, that's a great request. That's a praiseworthy request. The Lord is pleased with that request. So if you're in a bind, if you are unsure, if there's a decision before you, and if you ask for wisdom, you ask for discernment, you've asked for a great thing, a praiseworthy thing. The Lord appeared to him. He had one request. Solomon wanted wisdom, and he had wisdom throughout his reign. And despite that wisdom, did he have peace? Was he loyal? No, he wasn't. The Lord appeared, the Lord Jesus appears to Solomon a second time in 1 Kings 9. And it, verse 1, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. So after Solomon builds the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord, and the king's house, a second time Jesus appears. If you meet Jesus two times, then there's a chance that you will have momentary peace. All of us as believers, you've met him at least once. He's the Prince of Peace. In that moment when you encounter Christ for salvation, there was peace in your heart. I guarantee it. If you met the Lord Jesus, in that moment there was peace. Solomon met him twice. In those two moments, there was peace. But was there peace? Was there loyalty? Was there shalem? In Solomon's life, no, there wasn't. Why? Because he only met Jesus twice. If Jesus came to you and asked you, what do you want? What do you want for Christmas? I prayed to the Lord yesterday, I want to meet you, Lord Jesus. I want you. You are the Prince of Peace. So if you give me the privilege of living 40 years more, I just turned 48. If I can live to be 88, my prayer request, Lord Jesus, is I want to meet you 14,610 more times over the next 40 years. That's how many days there are. 14,610 times I want to meet you. Twice is not enough. Twice is not enough. No wonder Solomon lacked peace. David, who prayed, who's famous for prayer, who's famous for Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is displaying a life of peace because he's meeting Jesus over and over. He knows his shepherd. He lacks nothing. He's not restless. Although around him it might be turmoil, in his heart there's peace. And he is considered somebody who's a man after God's heart. There's loyalty there. He's not restless. There's peace. Solomon, with all of his wisdom, with all the blessings of the Lord, he only met him twice. No wonder he lacked peace. If the Lord Jesus met you at one time, there was peace in that moment. How can we guarantee that there is peace? Is it a job? Is it money? Is it a great church experience? Is it a lot of ministry? What can guarantee peace in your life? It's only Jesus, the Prince of Peace. If you meet him, you will have peace. Not just in spurts, not just in moments, but perpetually. Daily you will have peace. It is my prayer for the next 40 years, Lord willing, I will meet the Lord 14,610 more times. Not twice, 14,000 plus more times. If the Lord Jesus asks you, "What do you want?" Can't we say, "Lord Jesus, I want you"? Then I'll have peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Do you lack peace? Perhaps you're not abiding in the Prince of Peace. As Jesus is wrapping up his ministry, he's talking about leaving his disciples. The disciples were stricken with panic and fear. And this is the one gift that Jesus promises to give to them in John 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In this life, there will be many potential times when we will be afraid, when there will be potentially times when we will be lacking peace. And the world gives its counterfeit form of peace. "I'll just take a vacation. I just took a vacation." There's no peace in a vacation. I do not like traveling. I do not like the cold weather. Aside from the blessings, there's so many things on this trip where I lacked peace. A vacation is not the answer. The world gives its form of peace. Just drink this thing. Just drink, numb away the pain. This is the world's form of counterfeit peace. There is no peace. You wake up with a hangover. You wake up feeling worse than before. There's no peace in all of the world's solutions. And there's one solution that works because it's from Jesus. And when you ask for his peace, you're really asking for Jesus, because there's no peace apart from Jesus. It's his peace after all. So when you say, "I want peace, Lord," you're really asking for Jesus. And as a byproduct of wanting Jesus, he gives you peace. So you can recognize right away, am I abiding in Christ? Check how much peace you have. If there's peace, yes, you're abiding in Christ. If there's no peace, you're not abiding in Christ. Because if you're abiding in Christ, His peace flows into you. It's nothing to do with your circumstances. Your circumstances may be the same. It may be turmoil, but like David, who knew how to pray, who knew how to abide in Christ, if we understand this principle, I have this peace because of Jesus. That's one litmus test. Am I abiding in Christ? Yes, I believe in Him, but am I abiding? Am I remaining? Am I resting in Christ? Am I following Christ? The one way you can check is there peace? And we'll end with Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can fool ourselves as a Christian into thinking we have peace by burying our head in the sand. And I think I have a tendency, I can do this without realizing. I just bury my head in the sand, or I say I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. But really what I'm doing is I'm burying my head in the sand. Because there are so many concerns around us. And I can say, well, that doesn't really matter. What matters is Jesus. Let me just fix my eyes on Jesus. That's actually not the way it's supposed to be. We have burdens, we have requests, we have needs. There are things happening around us. But a person of peace knows how to pray through these requests. He says, be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. All of these requests, all of these burdens, all of these fears, we bring it to Jesus. And we say, Jesus, can you take this restlessness away? Can you take this burden away? Can you take these fears away? Can you take this anger away? Can you take all these things in my heart that's causing me to turn away from you? I want to be fully devoted and loyal to you. Can you take these things away out of my heart? Can you take care of my boys? Can you take care of my loved ones? Can you save them? Can you meet them? Can you provide for me? All of the things that swirl around in our minds, we just bring them one by one as a request. We're not burying our head in the sand saying there are no requests. We're also not holding on to them and just clinging to them and being burdened and stressed by them. No, we're learning to pray and giving them one by one to Jesus. And Jesus guards your heart and your mind. It is through Christ Jesus, as we offer Him these burdens, these requests with thanksgiving. That's how we maintain peace in a tumultuous world with many requests that can paralyze us, that can burden us, that can derail us. We need to learn how to bring them to Jesus. It guards our heart and mind through Jesus Christ. So I know as Christmas approaches, things tend to get busy with family, with a lot of things going on. Our minds kind of get filled up with things. Let's learn how to bring them to Jesus one by one. We're not denying that the requests are there. We're not burying our head in the sand. We're bringing them one by one to Jesus, saying, Jesus, can you take care of this? Can you lift up this burden? Can you make it lighter for me? I cannot hold this. I cannot handle this. It will burden me. It will cause fear in me. I'm just bringing them one by one to Jesus. This thing in my heart that's derailing me, that's causing me to chase after another God. Can you deal with this idolatry? One by one, surrendering and repenting. That's how we maintain peace. Okay, let's pray. Father, as we study King Solomon's life, he was so blessed. He was blessed financially. He was blessed to be a king. He was blessed with such wealth. He was blessed spiritually with wisdom more than any man who walked on this earth. He met you twice, but those two meetings with Jesus Christ were insufficient for him to maintain peace. He chased after foreign wives. He chased after foreign gods. He was restless. He made a lot of mistakes. Lord, it is our prayer on this day, Jesus, we want to meet you. It is our prayer request tomorrow, Jesus, we want to meet you. If we live 40 more years, we want to meet you 14,610 more times. Every day that you give breath in our lungs, we want to meet you. And the byproduct of fellowshipping, of abiding in Christ, is peace. Because Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Jesus, we give you our burdens. We give you our fears. We give you all the turmoil in our hearts and our minds. We surrender all our idolatry and our sins. We pray that you forgive us. We pray that you cleanse us. We plead the blood of Jesus over our body, soul, spirit, mind, will, emotion. We remember your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you that your body was broken and your blood shed. You did this to bring us peace, reconciling us to the Heavenly Father. But it is not just for eternity. Later on, you promised peace on this day. You are the Prince of Peace. Thank you for reconciling us in this moment. We want to learn how to abide in Jesus Christ. Not just two times, not just 200 times, but thousands upon thousands of times that we can meet the Prince of Peace. Pray that you meet us and minister to us as we partake in the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to come forward for prayer, if you'd like to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, Lord, become baptized, become a member of this church. If you just need just general prayer, please come forward. I'd love to pray for you after you've prayed. When you're ready, the Lord's Supper is there. You can partake if the Lord allows. Thank you.